Hey, it's an incredible privilege to be back with you. I'm excited. I was really excited, and then Dr. Whitmore started a conspiracy theory in my mind this morning because he texted me early this morning. He said, why is it that Dr. White invites you to speak at Cedarville during the most coldest moments in Cedarville history? A Florida boy like me, this is pretty rough. So I don't know. Maybe it's payback from all the times I slaughtered him in Halo or other events. Or maybe it is a blessing. But I'm glad you're here, because I believe that God has a word for you that could transform your whole entire life. One of the things that I believe that really resonates within me, that I believe above anything else, is that your God is for you. And the reason you know he's for you is that he died for you. Anyone who's willing to die for you is for you. And he's for you. There's no one who wants to bless you more than the living God. There's no one who wants you to prosper more than the living God. There's no one who wants you to live in abundance more than the living God. There's no one who has a plan for good things in your life like the living God. God is always leading you to good, good, good places. The problem is not in the leading of God, but the problem is my following of God, because I keep getting in the way to where God wants to lead me. And so what would it look like in your life and in my life? And what we're going to try to do, Lord willing, in 2 days, if we get back here tomorrow and we don't freeze to death, is to talk about how we can begin to get out of your own way to discover the great things that God has for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, get out of your way. Come on, come on, come on. You got to do better than that. Get out of your way. Get out of your way. And what we're going to do to set the stage to talk about this is we're going to study how God led his people out of Egypt into the wandering desert into the promised land. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13. The background is that God has just redeemed his people out of Egypt, and he's leading them into the promised land. He's leading them to good places. And so Numbers chapter 13, verse 1, and says, so the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. Who's giving them the land? God is. God says, I'm giving you the land. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to be the one who's going to bless you. I'm going to be the one who's going to deliver you. 170 times God is going to promise his people, I will give you the land. It's yours. You just got to follow me. I have good things for you. You just got to go forward by faith. You just got to trust me. 170 times God promised them that he had a plan for them. He was going to protect them, and he was going to divinely position them exactly where they needed to be to walk and experience his abundance and the destiny he had for them. And so it says, and so from each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. And so there's 12 tribes, and so each one selects one. So 12 spies are sent out. Now skip down to verse 17. So when Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev and onto the hill country and see. Circle the word see. I want you to see some things. See what the land is like. See what God has promised you. See how God is going to bless you. See the good things God wants to do. So the 12 spies go out, they examine the land that God has promised, they explore, and then they come back. And for the sake of time, we're just going to skip down to verse 25. And so it says, at the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. And they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran, and there they reported. So they saw, and they're going to report. So circle the word report. They reported to them, to the whole assembly, and they showed them the fruit of the land. In fact, they bought back some big grapes, they brought back some fig Newtons, they bought back some pomegranates and some protein bars maybe, I don't know, but they're bringing back the fruit, the abundance of the land. Verse 27 says, so they gave Moses this account. They began to tell about what was going on. It says, we went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. This is imperative. This is so important. It says, God promised it, and it is. Everything God promised is true. Everything God said is a reality. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land flowing with goodness. It's a land flowing with nourishment. It's a land flowing with satisfaction. It's a land that we can go into. This is what God promised us. It is true. And they said, here, even look at the fruit. Look at these big grapes. They're huge. Look at how good our God is. Look how powerful he is. Look at his promise. The land is incredible. And if they would have stopped there, the narrative of the story would be radically different. But yet it says something right after this that is profound. Everything God says is true. Look at verse 28. But, now that's a big but. And in case you didn't know, God doesn't like big buts. Y'all are cold today, I don't know. It says, but the people. God, what God said is true, but the people. Oh, who live there, they're powerful. I know what God says, but the cities are fortified. And they're very, very large. They're not small cities. They're large cities. And they're not little fortification. There's huge fortification that these people are big. And we even saw the descendants of Anath there. Wow. The Amalekites live there in Negev. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites. They live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. God has a plan. But it's not the way we planned it. We thought we were just going to walk on in and everything was going to be easy. We didn't know there was going to be a fight. We know what God says, but there's people here that are big and the problems are colossal and it seems too hard. It seems too difficult. It seems it's overwhelming. The promise is true, but the problems are real. In your life, there will always be a but that will try to keep you out of the things that God has for you and wants for you. And the fundamental question you will have to answer in your life is, will you trust in what you see, or will you trust in what God says? Will you trust in what you see? Or will you ultimately begin to trust in what God says and what God has for you? And I could have framed it a little bit different, because here's where we enter the text. Because every time God begins to move in your life, God will say, hey, I'm moving you. I have a plan for you. I have a destiny for you. I have a purpose for you. I'm going to move in your life. I have a promise for you to begin to achieve. I have some great things for you. And every time you go to take a step of faith, you will begin to take a step, but there will be a huge but there. And that butt will begin to speak to you and tell you, you can't do it. You can't go forward. God's not for you. This is overwhelming. This is not how you planned it. This is not how you dreamed it. This is not what you envisioned it to be. So why don't you just stay where you are at? And this is the walk of faith. That every time God moves, there will always be problems, there will always be struggles that you can very easily begin to focus on that will keep you from the things that God wants to do in the midst of your life. And so what will you listen to? Will you trust in what you see, or will you trust in what God says? Or we can phrase it a different way. Will you trust in what God says, or will you trust in what your butt says? Turn to your neighbor and say, your butt's getting in the way. Come on, you got to give him a shove on that one. If you're a professor, no emails. I'm just being true to the text, all right? I'm true to the text. It's there. Because your butt will constantly come in and say, you can't do it. But you're too young. God can't use you to make a difference. But you have a past. You really think people will listen to you? God can't use you. But you're incompetent. I mean, come on. But you thought it would be easy and it's hard. But you thought you would already have a relationship now. I mean, you're getting into the cold weather and it wouldn't be great. And you thought your life was all planned out. But there's some problems here. And you thought you would just step in and everything will fall into place. But you, in the moment, you see all the things that are happening and there's a struggle to go forward. So what will you listen to? You trust in what you see or what God says. 12 spies see the same thing, but the question is, what will they trust in? Verse 30, then Caleb, I love my man Caleb. Caleb stood up, and Caleb has a swagger to him. Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. If God is for us, who can be against us? Come on, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God can do anything, then why are we doubting this in this moment? God can do it. He gave me a promise. I'm going to follow through with it. Give me the land. Give me the promises of God. Give me the things that God has for me. I'm not going to live wandering. I got some things that God wants to do in my life, and I'm seizing hold of it. There is a tenacity has to develop in your faith. Give me the promise. All the promises of God already have their answer, and it's yes in Christ Jesus. So those who are believers in Christ, the answer is yes to every promise that God gives you. Give me the promises of God. I'm going forward. But the men, here's the but men, who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. What are you thinking? They're stronger than we are." To which, if I'm Caleb and Joshua, I'm going, what? God just annihilated the Egyptian army, the most powerful army, technologically advanced army on planet Earth. He annihilated them, and the Israelites didn't even have to raise a bow. They didn't even have to take up a spear. God fought the battle. God crushed the most superior military army in that moment. And now they're looking at a little posse and going, I don't know. It'd be like if the basketball team beat Michigan, Ohio State, Duke, and North Carolina, and then they were scared about Ohio Valley. It doesn't make sense, right? You're going, whoa, whoa, whoa. If God could do this, then why am I afraid of this? If my God can conquer the grave, come on. Then why are you afraid about this? Who's speaking to you in that moment? What are you looking at? Verse 32. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report. A bad report about the land they had explored. For they said, the land we explored devours those living in it. This breaks my heart. You know why? God says, the land I'm about to give you is going to bless you. But when you're living by fear and living by what you see, what ends up happening is you take the promises of God and turn them into a curse. If I live that way, I'll never be successful. If I do those things, God might send me to some place I never want to be. I mean, come on, I want to be an engineer. I don't want to go off to some unknown country and be a missionary. I can't continue to do the things that God tells me. I have to blur the lines a little bit. I have to step over into my own resources every now and then. I mean, come on, you can't succeed in life doing it God's way. And the evil one will whisper and take the blessings of God and make you look at them like a curse from God. Life's going to be miserable. Verse 32, and all the people we saw, they are great size. We saw, notice what they're living by. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Enoch come from Nephilim. And we seemed, notice what they're doing. We seemed, so they're interpreting what they have seen, and now they're giving a perception. Now they're taking their mindset and they're making it into reality in their mind. And they're saying, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. It was not what they saw, but how they saw it that really made the whole entire difference. See, you develop a report not only on what you see. You develop a report in your life not only on what you see, but what you perceive as happening. Fundamentally, what will begin to develop in your life is not what you see, but the narrative you place on what you see. 12 spies enter the land. 10 of them come back and say, there's no way. 2 of them come back, Joshua and Caleb, and say, God can do it. If he promised it, let's do it. And they begin to interpret what they were seeing based on the reality of what God says. But the other 10, they begin to interpret what they saw based on how they felt and what they could do. And they were beginning to struggle. They were living by what they saw, not what God said. And this placed them in a predicament that it was going to hurt them into the midst of the future. You're constantly going to live life and you're going to interpret reality based on the lens of what you see and what you can do, or the lens of what God says and what he can do. The question is, what will you trust in? And it amazes me. 12 people saw the same exact thing. Same giants, same fortification, same land. But their report was radically different because of not what they saw, but how they saw it. See, the report you believe will ultimately determine the very direction that God leads you. The report that you choose to believe in your life will determine the very direction that God will lead you. You can't control what you see happening. But you can control the report you believe about what is happening. You can't control all the craziness and all the things that are happening around you. But you can control your perception of what you interpret and how you interpret what is happening all around you. And think about what happens from this. That those who say, we're going to live by what God says, they're going to enter into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb are going to enter into the promised land. The 10 spies who go, no, but they're fortification, but we can't do that, but that will never happen, but I don't know if God can use me, but that seems too impossible, but that seems too big. They ended up dying in the desert. Think about this. They died in the desert, not because God was against them. They died in the desert miserable, not because God said, oh, I'm out to get you. God says, I want to bless you. But the problem is, you won't listen to me in the direction I have for your life, and you're ending up dying in the desert because you won't trust what I say. God was trying to lead them to goodness, but they, because of their interpretation of what was happening, their lack of the faith to go forward and take a step to move forward, kept them wandering in the desert. And I wonder, so many of you, your faith is withering in the desert, not because of your circumstances. Your faith is withering because the report you believe about your circumstances. Did you're withering? And what's so incredible is that people can go through the same exact events, but one walk out with abundance and flourishing and goodness, and another walk out bitter and cold and angry. You can't control what's going to happen in your life. You're going to face big obstacles. But you can choose the report you truly believe. Will you trust in what you see, or will you trust in what God says? What will you live by? What will you focus on? If you focus on all the buts, you'll constantly be a desert dweller. And I want you to hear this. Listen. We don't need another generation of wanderers. We need a generation of Calebs and Joshuas who rise up and go, yeah, there's fortifications, and yeah, there's giants, and yeah, there's obstacles, and yeah, there's things out there, but wow, what could God do? Yeah, yes, there are giants, but wow, there's grapes. And yes, there are problems, but look at the promise of what God can do. And yes, there's burdens, but look at the blessings that God can begin to bestow upon our life. We're not stopping. We're going forward because we're pushing forward to the great things that God has for us. So how do you begin to do it? You got to begin to reverse it. You have to begin to reverse the very context of how you enter in and what you begin to see. You see, I can't control a lot of things in life, but I can't control my attitude, and I can't control whether I keep taking steps of faith even though there's a lot of buts in front of me. And God, I'm going to trust you. What ends up happening is we go, okay, God, I know you want to make a difference in my life. God, I know you want to use me, and we begin to take that step, and all of a sudden there's that big but, and we're struggling. We go, I don't know. I'm scared. I'm fearful. I don't know if I can go forward. I'm kind of stuck here. God, I'm not sure. And when we look at it and we go, I know what God says, but I know what I see. It's just too hard. It just seems too difficult. just seems like it's going to be miserable if I follow that path. It seems like it's just going to end up struggling. I don't know. I know what God says, but I know what I see. And I want to encourage you to begin to reverse it. I want you to begin to reverse it. And the way you begin to reverse it is you put it in the right place. And you begin to say, I know what I see. But faith rises up and faith has a courage to begin to say, I know what I see, but I know what my God says. I know what my God can do. I know what my God can perform. I know where God can take me. And I'm not living, wandering in the desert when my God wants to bless me and flourish me in the midst of my life. I'm stepping forward by faith, believing the good things that God has for me, believing by faith that he can overcome everything I face, believing that if he loves me enough to die for me, then he's for me in this moment, believing that my God has the power to overcome the grave. And if he can overcome the grave, he can overcome anything in the midst of my life. And I know that my God reigns supreme, that my God is the King of glory, the Alpha and the Omega, and he is right now reigning in the heavenlies, and he's watching over me, and everything is according to his plan and how his sovereign will. And so I'm going to trust in this moment, not what I see, but in what God says. And so nothing is going to stop me from entering into the promises that God has for me. And that's how I'm living. Come on, you got to get a little excited. I know what I see. But I trust in what God says. There was a couple in our church who had tried for years to have a child. And they were told they would never be able to have kids. So they decided to adopt, and because they tried so long to have kids, they were now a little older, and so the adoption agency told them the probability of you actually having kids is very low because you waited too long to begin to adopt. So they just kept praying, God, we know you can make a way where there seems to be no way, and we're going to trust you. So out of the blue, they got a call one day that says, hey, there's a kid here that we tried different parents, but no one really wants him. Do you want him? And they said, yes, absolutely. And they were like, whoa, you don't know what he looks like. You don't know about, no. We want him. So we went down, they adopted this little boy. And you could say, wow, all the dreams are coming true. Let's put a bow on it. Everything is great. So he lives with him for a couple years. He turns the age of 6. And she gets diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And you just go, come on. I mean, it seemed like everything was working out. And it seems like they have a kid and now cancer. And they gave her just a couple months to live. And one of the most incredible things is journeying this with her. She had faith through it all. And she would come in every week and she would sing with a passion, with a boldness. She had this energy and this passion about her. And I'm telling you, here I am as a pastor. I'm trying to teach her about faith, but every single week she's preaching a louder message to me than I ever could to anyone else. And so I go on and say, how are you doing this? And she says, I was reading scripture and I came across Psalm 112, verse 7. They will have no fear of bad news, for their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. And she says, when that verse began to hit me, she says, I realized something. That I can go in and I can get bad news from every single doctor that I visit, and they can tell me all the things that will go wrong and might go wrong and mess up in my life. But she says, but then God revealed to me that just because it's bad news, it doesn't mean it has to be a bad report. then my God can take bad news, and because I trust in his goodness, that no matter what happens to me, he has a plan, that I know that my days are not numbered by cancer. My days are numbered by the living God. And so nothing can take my life away until the living God says it's over. And because of that, I keep getting up every single day believing that God can do the impossible. And when it's over, it's over. But it's not over till he says it's over. So I'm trusting and I'm following. And not even bad news can take away the good report, because by faith, I believe that my God can do the impossible. I believe by faith that my God can do the unimaginable. By faith, I believe that my God can multiply my days no matter what I face in life. And she began to go forward, and it was an incredible picture of what God could do. And so we kept praying and kept praying and kept praying, and God radically healed this woman. She went in and she was cancer free. In 4 months, they said she was going to die. 4 months later, they say she's cancer free. But she chose in the moment. Say, I'm not going to allow this to determine where God wants to lead me. That my God can do the impossible. My God can do the impossible. A young guy named Ishmael called our church, and he was in hospice. He had cancer in the brain and cancer in his, that spread throughout his whole entire body. And he didn't know the Lord. He went into hospice, and they told him he had about 2 weeks to live. So he called our church, hospice did, and said, hey, would you mind coming in and praying with Ishmael? So a guy in our church named John went in and began praying with him and encouraged him. And he read through this story of the spies going into the promised land. He shared with him the gospel. Ishmael didn't believe in Christ, shared with him the gospel. And Ishmael just said, no, I don't know if I want to believe it or not. And he kept going back, praying with him. And then finally one day he read this account to Ishmael about the spies. He said, Ishmael, what report will you believe? Will you believe the report that death is the end, that there is no hope? Would you place your faith in the hope of what Jesus Christ could do? Do you believe the report of what God says, the report of what you see? And Ishmael says, I want to begin to believe the report of what God says. I want to trust in Christ. And right there, Ishmael gave his life to Christ. What was incredible is from that day forward, Ishmael began to live with a different focus, live with a different passion, live with a different understanding. Chemotherapy to the point destroyed his eyesight, so he was blind. With cancer, continued to go through chemotherapy. And you would visit Ishmael and say, Ishmael, is everything all right? He'd say, I'm blessed. Ishmael, you can't see. And he says, I don't care. Every time I go in and they hook me up to give me chemotherapy, I just start preaching the gospel to every single doctor and nurse in that place. And he says, over the past several months, I've already led 5 of them to the Lord. Ishmael ended up living 4 more years. And over that time, he led over 100 people to Christ. Yes. Why? Why? Because he says, I know what I see, but I'm not going to allow that to define me. I'm going to trust in what my God says. I'm going to trust in his goodness. I'm going to trust in his power. I'm going to trust in his provision. I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to trust in him. So what about you? What are you talking yourself out of that God's already promised he will take care of? What are you talking yourself out of that God says, I'm already taking care of that. Will you trust me? Will you trust me? I know what you see. I know what you see. I know what you see. But what does your God say? Come on, will you stand to your feet in this moment? I want you to hear this word, because I believe this word can resonate with you. Come on, stand to your feet, every single one of you. Come on. Because this will change your life if you can begin to look at your obstacles, look at your difficulties with a new frame of reference, with a new perception, that when you go forward, there will always be a huge butt that will try to get in your way. But you're going, I'm getting out of my way because I'm trusting in all that my God can do, and I'm trusting in all that my God can begin to move. Because you're looking at your situation and you're going, whoa, 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 come on, I don't know how I'm going to afford next semester, and I don't know what God's going to do, and I don't know, my parents are struggling, and I got some craziness going on here, and I don't know if I'm able, I don't know if I can go forward, I don't know if I can keep moving forward. There just seems like so many obstacles facing me, so many things that are taking me, so many things that are before me. And you have to begin to kick some faith in and begin to say, I know what I see, but my God says a promise in Philippians 4:19 that my God will supply all my what? Come on, do you believe that? Do you believe my God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory? Come on, that's how you take a step of faith. I know what I see, but what does my God say? He will supply, he will protect, he will position me. So I'm moving forward believing that my God has a better plan than what I have for, that my God has a better future for me. Or you say, well, I don't know. I know what I see. It seems like I'm struggling, and I got some news about my parents, and it's not good. And I got some news about my future, and it's not good. And I got some news about things that are happening, and it's not good. And it seems everything's falling apart, and it seems like God is holding back on me, and it seems the things I wanted aren't happening. I mean, I've been praying for 2 years to have a ring by spring, and I'm still struggling. It's funny to laugh at, but when I go to bed at night, I'm lonely. And I feel like a failure. And I wonder if God's way is the best way. And I wonder if God's out to get me. I know what I see, but I trust in what God says. Psalm 84:11. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing. Say no good thing. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. This is how you go forward. I know what's before me, but no good thing does God withhold from me. My God will give me every good thing that I need right in the right time. It might not be the way I planned it, but he has a better plan. He has a better future. He has a better prosperity. He has a better goodness. He has a better blessing that he is leading me towards. So I'm trusting in what he says, not in what I see. I'm going forward by faith, believing them, no good thing does my God withhold from me. And some of you, this is what's so irritating. Some of you sit there going, oh, yeah, I can tell him about no good thing. How long are you going to wither in the desert? How long? Where has you leading you gotten you so far in life? Maybe there's time. Maybe it's time that you stop professing with your mouth that God's word is the inspired and inerrant word of the living God, and you actually start believing the promises in the word of God that will direct your life. No good thing does he withhold from you. No good thing. No good thing. Your God is always working for your good. But you're there going, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. 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 But I don't know if I can do this. I can do this. Philippians 4:13. Come on. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So my strength isn't found in the things of this world. My strength isn't found in my willpower. My strength isn't found in my fortitude. My strength isn't found in me. That I know my God will give me everything I need to accomplish everything he has for me. So nothing can stop what God wants to do in me and through me. Nothing can stop. There's not the power of hell. There's no demon on earth. There's no principality. There's nothing can stop what God wants to do through me, because he is working in me and through me, and I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So I'm going to go forward. Give me the promise. Give me the land. Give me the mountain. Give me the things of God, because I'm not going to be stuck in the wilderness. It's time for me to walk in the blessing, and I'm believing that the promises of God are true and no good thing will you hold, and believing that all things are possible through him who is alive and who is well and who strengthens me. And I'm believing by faith that God is good, and I'm not stopping now, because my God has better things for me. My God has greater things for me, and I want to keep going forward. Will you just give God a shout of praise in this moment? Come on. So, Lord, I pray, oh, may the spirit of Caleb and Joshua fill this place, and may we no longer live by what we see, but may we live by what you say. We pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and God's people shouted.
Amen.
I love you. You're dismissed. God bless.